And 1 week ago today, the government imposed a shutdown. We were told not to leave home except for food or medicine or for vital caregiving. We were told to exercise only within 2 kilometres of our homes. And the over 70s and anyone whose health was compromised should stay at home in all circumstances. It was all done in a bid to flatten the curve of the rise of COVID-19, to keep the rate of new infections low so that our hospital system could cope with those who would become seriously ill. We don't yet know if the measures are enough. Yesterday, there was an 11% rise in the number of confirmed cases to 3,849 and a 15% rise in deaths, 13 more, to leave a total in the Republic of 98. At last night's briefing by the Department of Health, the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Tony Houlihan, was asked if the restrictions might be eased after April the 12th.
We won't be surprised if we find ourselves coming close to the 12th of April that we need to ask the public again to work with us to ensure that we continue to see, if you like, the benefit of the measures that we have in place. We'll know fully, as I say, towards the end of next week what the position is. In other words, what the day-on-day increase and the other measures that we track in the population, we'll be able to make a better assessment of where we stand. Do we need further improvement? Or have we in fact turned the corner?
We can talk now to our science correspondent, George Lee. George, you were at that briefing last night and there was more detail given on the numbers in intensive care. Now, this is important because it tells us how dangerous COVID-19 is and it allows us to assess our hospital's capacity. So what did we learn about intensive care cases last night?
Well, up until now, we'd been getting numbers about how many people had been admitted to intensive care. And that was a number which was the number of people who had been in intensive care since this whole COVID-19 episode began. So we didn't know whether they were still in intensive care or how their cases might or might not have been resolved or how many of them would specifically had died. And there might have been a presumption that when we saw the death numbers that a lot of them had been through intensive care. But what we found out last night, that not really, that wasn't the case, that we got 148 cases admitted to intensive care since the beginning of COVID-19. And that of them, luckily 25 of them had their cases had been discharged. In other words, they had recovered somehow from where they had been, which was really good news. But that there had been 14 deaths, and of those who had been into intensive care, which left 109 remaining in intensive care. And the average age or the median age of those people was 62. Now, that is 20 years younger than the median age of those who died. The other thing about it is that you can see that the number of deaths there, it only equates to about 15% of all of the deaths so far from those people infected with COVID-19. So most of the people were dying and have been dying outside of intensive care. The other thing, the implication of that is that they mostly had underlying health conditions, or they may have been particularly in a situation in a nursing home where intensive care wouldn't have really helped an awful lot. So, but most of the people were in that category. 85% had not died in intensive care. The other thing which jumps out from it as well to me is that if you look at the number of people, if you want to use the term, had their cases resolved, which would have been they're no longer in intensive care, there were 39, and of them 35% of them had died. So it is, they're very sick people who go into intensive care. They're younger than what people might have expected when you look at the death statistics. And some of them do come out, but some of them don't come out. And a lot of the people who have underlying health conditions have not been in intensive care.
And as I said, George, yesterday's figures rise was 11%. Dr. Houlihan said that if it remained at 10% a day, it would be a challenge to the hospital system, something which Dr. Emily O'Connor of the Emergency Medicine Association concurred with this morning. She's very concerned. Dr. Houlihan also said that the disease was becoming more of a household disease. What did he mean by that?
What he meant, and particularly when you look at the number of close contacts that people who have been diagnosed positive with COVID-19, 3 weeks ago, the typical average was 20. It's very hard to believe it's only 3 weeks ago so much has happened, but we were up at 20. So people who were diagnosed positive would have had 20 close contacts. That dropped to 5 and has now dropped to 3. three. So most of the three are tend to be people in a household. So we had 60% community transmission of the disease, according to the most recent figures. That is somewhere within the community, out and about, people are picking it up, unknown about where that would be. But when you drill down through that, it appears that if you only have about three contacts, well, then most of them are going to be in your household. And that drives it back out of the community, which is a useful thing, because it means there's less opportunity out there for the disease to spread, a little bit less opportunity, but that three is still too many. You have to get, that is still a reproduction rate, which is well above one, and you've got to get it below one if you've got to stop this virus. So we have an awful long way to go. But within a household, a lot of the people are living so close together that the infection can spread.
I want to talk to you finally about personal protective equipment, because this is a huge issue for medical staff on the front line. We know that supplies are coming in from China, George. Some staff are concerned about its suitability. It's heavier and perhaps more robust than they are used to. We got a statement from the HSE last night. They said that some elements of the first batch from China were not ideal, their words, but may be usable if an alternative supply isn't available. They went on to say that infection prevention and control clinical experts from the HSE undertake product testing on all shipments to assess the quality and the suitability. And in this video message to healthcare staff last night, the chief executive of the HSE, Paul Reid, had this to say.
I know the issue of PPE, personal protective equipment, has been an issue of major concern. We have been in negotiations worldwide to secure a very significant order of over 200 million, and that delivery has started over the last few days. We are, however, engaged worldwide to secure alternative stocks should these supplies not materialise to the extent that we expect. It's a very competitive worldwide market, but our procurement teams have done really well to secure what we have to date.
That's Paul Reid in a video message on Twitter last night. George, what do you make of that?
Well, obviously there are big issues. This was a huge order that was placed. It's 200 million euro worth of an order for personal protective equipment. There's a global rush to try and find all of this stuff. It's very hard to source it, and the HSE felt that they were very lucky to be able to get such a massive amount. And in terms of the amount of order that they put in, typically they would spend 15 million euro on personal protective equipment in an entire year. So 60 million has been spent already in a short number of months, but this was 208 million. So this is absolutely enormous. There was nobody on the ground, or could be on the ground, with regard to checking the stuff in terms of what they were getting, because it's so difficult to get to China. So they were checking all of this material when it comes on the planes from China. The first one arrived on Sunday. It involves Aer Lingus flights coming from here, going to China, and nobody getting off that flight. It's loaded up and it comes back and it arrives in Dublin Airport, a 25-hour round trip. And there are of the order of 50 of those round trips involved in this massive order. Now, there are, I think it's five batches of materials, so this is an enormous amount of stuff coming. And I think there was some disappointment when they saw some of the equipment, because it wasn't quite what the Irish healthcare workers are typically expecting. So they have tweaked and adjusted the order as they've seen it. There are obviously going to be issues and eyebrows raised when some people see the material, I think, the personal protective equipment, because it's different. But the number one thing that the HSE says is that this is World Health Organization quality. It is of the standard, and it does work as protective equipment. Okay. It may not be. It may need to be adjusted. But the one thing we should say is that they have identified a secondary supply that they could use if needed, which I think, from their line of supply, if they can't get sorted in relation to whatever the issues are on some of this material. But it's a big order, and no doubt it's a story that we'll hear a little bit more about as people see whether the equipment is what they're looking for.
Absolutely, George. Thank you as always. George Lee, our science correspondent.